Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a teaching through a brand new book I've got out entitled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword. And of course, tomorrow's going to be the end of my first 2 weeks of teaching on this. I'm going to go at least 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks into this. And this book, Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword, is actually a compilation of 16 of my different teachings. And instead of going into detail, we just give a brief summary in each chapter. Also, let me quickly mention that we have a study guide that goes along with this that is designed for you to teach other people, Sunday school or discipleship classes, things like this. And we're offering, along with our book and our study guide, we're offering DVDs of these television programs exactly the way you see them. And so what this means is that you could take, like my teaching today, as I'm going to talk about grace and faith, you could play my program to a Bible study group and then take the questions that are in the study guide, read through them, look up the scriptures that give the answers to those questions, and make a group discussion. And it's just a tremendous way to take these truths and just bring them out, disciple other people. You will get more out of it yourself as you discuss it and listen to other people's input than you would just by listening to it yourself. So anyway, these are some tremendous resources that we've got, and I'm really excited about the potential for this teaching to touch a lot of people. Now, today what I want to talk about is the balance between grace and faith. And this is really important to me. I've had some people, our media buyer, who has been, buying television airtime for some of the most famous and well-known faith teachers that there is. He has told me, and I believe this myself, I've had other people say it, that really this is kind of the heart of what makes my ministry different than a lot of other ministries. You'll find people either divided into one of two camps. Either they're over here in the faith camp or they're into the grace camp. But actually, I believe that there's a balance between the two. For instance, here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." This doesn't say that you're saved by grace, and it doesn't say that you're saved by faith. You're saved by grace through faith. It's actually a combination of the two. I've had a person liken it to this, that sodium and chloride are both poisons. If you were to take sodium in sufficient quantities, it'll kill you. If you take chlorine in sufficient quantities, it will kill you. They're both poisons. But if you mix them together, it makes salt, and you'll die without it. Did you know that grace by itself will kill you? And I know that there's people probably all around the world just gasping because they have been set free by the grace of God. But this verse is making it very clear. You're saved by grace through faith. You aren't saved by grace alone. Let me just give a real simple definition. Grace is what God does for you, independent of you. If you look the word grace up in the Greek dictionary, it'll define it, in depending on which dictionary you look in, some type of unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. And of course, I think that's a real simple definition. You'd go into a lot more. But for our purposes here, grace is what God does for you independent of you. For instance, Jesus was full of grace and truth. God shed His grace on the world through Jesus. So that was 2,000 years ago, before you were born, before you ever did good or bad. It has nothing to do with you and whether you are worthy or not. Grace is everything that God is and has available to you on an unearned, undeserved basis. That's grace. And it's completely separate from you. If it was tied to your own worthiness, then it wouldn't be grace anymore. It would be merit. It would be a payment. So grace is what God is and has available on an unearned, undeserved basis. And it says in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. If God's grace alone saved you, then every single person would be saved, because God has made an atonement for the sins of the entire world. Did you know that Hitler's sins were paid for? Mussolini's sins were paid for. You can go back to Pharaoh or Attila the Hun or whoever you want to look at as a tyrant who's done terrible things. Jesus paid for the sins of all mankind by grace. If grace alone saved you, then all of those people would be saved, because He is the same towards everybody. And if a person starts saying, well, no, He only paid for the sins of people who He knew would accept Him, well, then you start running afoul of other scriptures, such as 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, where it says that He is the propitiation, that means the atoning sacrifice, for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Boy, that scripture just makes it very clear that Jesus didn't just die for the people who He knew would accept Him. No, He died for the Hitlers. He died for the Saddam Husseins. He died for all of the tyrants and despots throughout all history. He paid for the sins of every single person by grace. But those people aren't saved, because grace is what God does for us, independent of us. But faith is our response. Now, see, you'll either have people emphasize grace. It's just totally up to the grace of God. Oh, it has nothing to do with me. And if you aren't careful, you'll get into a ditch over on that side, to where you have no responsibility. You don't take your personal authority that God has given us, and you're just, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. It's all up to God. It's just God's grace. It has nothing to do with me. There's things in Scripture that say the opposite of that, that you have to, for instance, James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He will flee from you. You have to do some things. You have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that He was raised from the dead, and then you shall be saved, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. There are things that you have to do. So grace is what God does for you, independent of you. Faith is what you do. But let me define faith. Here's a common misunderstanding about faith. Most people believe faith is something I do to get God to move. That's wrong. You'll hear this statement often. People will say, faith moves God. That's not true. Faith doesn't move God. God's not stuck. God's not the one that needs to be moved. God by grace. Boy, get this. This is what revolutionized my life. God by grace has provided everything you will ever, could ever need prior to you needing it. That's grace. Has nothing to do with you. It came 2,000 years ago through Jesus. He knew every person that would ever be sick. He knew every sickness that would ever hit the human race. And all of that entered into the body of Jesus. And Jesus paid for those sins. And it's a done deal. God by grace has already done it before you even existed, before you did anything good or bad. That's grace. But faith isn't something you do to get God to do that. No, God by grace has already done it. Here is something that it took me 20 years to say. Faith only appropriates what God has already provided by grace. If God hasn't provided it by grace, your faith can't make Him do it. Boy, that is powerful. And see, this is one of the major problems, I believe, with people who are faith people. Now, I'm going to have people get upset with me and say, well, I'm a faith person and you're criticizing me. I was raised in the faith movement. I am not against faith people, but I think that one of the big mistakes is people emphasize what we must do to the point that there are many faith-type people who are trying to move God, and they think that if I will confess with my mouth that I'm healed, if I will say this, I can make God move something. And boy, that is offensive to God. It is offensive. Because, see, God, by grace, has already provided everything that you need. If you say, well, I need to be healed, and so I'm going to confess by His stripes I'm healed 500 times and then He'll heal me. Well, then you're already denying the fact that 1 Peter 2:24 says, by His stripes we were healed. He's already healed every sickness and every disease. He's already generated the power, and He's put that power on the inside of every one of us as believers. That power is already there. And so for you trying to make God heal you, see, you aren't resting in what He did for you. You aren't, by faith, appropriating grace. You are thinking that faith is going to make God do something. Boy, that is offensive. That's wrong. You can't make God do anything. God has already done everything He ever wanted to do through grace. But that grace doesn't just automatically work, because again, I refer to Titus 2:11, grace has appeared unto all men, but not all men are saved, because not all men respond in faith to what God did by grace. See, faith is a response to God, not something you do to gain a response to God. Boy, those are subtle but huge, profound differences in what I'm saying. Faith doesn't make God do anything. Take this verse in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. It says, that's verse 23. I may have to quote 23 and 24 to get them. But anyway, Mark 11, 23 says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That's Mark 11, 24. And so this says, whatsoever you desire, believe that you receive when you pray and you shall, future tense, have it. So does this mean that you can just desire to rob a bank and not get caught? Because, man, I believe in faith and I'm going to confess this, whatsoever things I desire. Well, most people would say, of course it doesn't mean that. Well, why doesn't it? Doesn't it say whatsoever? Isn't robbing a bank? Isn't winning the lottery? Isn't wanting somebody else's wife a whatsoever? Why can't you use Mark 11, 24 to just make God do something? Because whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. Why can't you do that? Here's the answer. It's because God, by grace, did not provide thievery and murder and lying and stealing. He hasn't already provided those things by grace, and faith can only appropriate what has already been provided by God's grace. That's the reason, so you can't do this, is because He didn't provide adultery and fornication and things like this. So you can't just use Mark 11, 24 to do it. There was a woman in Arlington, Texas. This has been back about 1970 or something like this. And she actually started a Bible college, had a few ladies that were in this Bible college with her. And it was a faith Bible college. And they stood on Mark 11, 24. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And her desire was that she wanted to marry Kenneth Copeland. She thought God revealed to her that Kenneth Copeland was her husband. And the way that she dealt with the minor detail of Gloria Copeland being married to Kenneth Copeland was that she just cursed Gloria Copeland. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And she cursed her and commanded her to die and get out of the way. And then they actually had a wedding ceremony where she was wearing a wedding dress and they confessed Mark 11:24, and she in spirit married Kenneth Copeland. Of course, Kenneth wasn't there. But she went through it. She stood on this and she told her people that whatsoever things you desire, I desire Kenneth Copeland to be my husband. So I married him in the spirit. And she just waited on Gloria to get out of the way. And then she was going to marry Kenneth. Did you know that that's been 40 years ago or something like that? It hasn't happened yet. It's not going to happen. You can't take your faith and make God do something. Now, see, most people would reject that because it just doesn't feel right. But what is the technical reason that you can't do that? Because God, by grace, did not provide murder and adultery as part of His atonement. Faith doesn't make God do anything. Faith only appropriates what God has already provided by grace. And once you understand this, I tell you what, it gives a tremendous amount of rest to you. Because now, instead of you having the burden on you, the responsibility on your back to, I'm going to confess 500 times and I'm not going to let go until I make God heal me. Whether you acknowledge it or not, this is what's behind a lot of the intercession movement. I believe in intercession, but not the way it's done typically in the body of Christ today, to where you pray and God won't hear you. So you go and you get a prayer team and you get 500,000 people praying together to try and force God to do something that He's not really prone to do on your own. He wouldn't answer you. So you get other people and we just put so much pressure on God, He's got to move. Boy, that's offensive. That's offensive to think that if it wasn't for the great intercessors, God wouldn't do anything. He'd just let the world go to hell. He doesn't care. It's the intercessors that are pleading and making God do this. And it's just totally a wrong attitude. See, you've got to understand that God, by grace, has already done everything that we need. There is nothing that you could ever need or desire or pray for that hasn't already been... let me rephrase that. Nothing good, nothing that is promised us in the Word of God that you could ever need or desire that God hasn't already provided by grace. And if that's so, then it's just a simple matter of, Father, I thank You that by Your stripes I was already healed. The doctors told me I was going to die, but no big deal. You've already anticipated this. Grace, You've already healed me. 1 Peter 2:24, by Your stripes I was healed. And so then you just rest in it. And faith becomes something that instead of being this hard thing where you have to work and it's just effort. I mean, you are worn out believing God. It changes into something that, oh, God's already provided it. Now I just believe. I'll reach out and appropriate by faith what God has already provided. And it takes the struggle out of faith. Faith is actually a rest, a trust, a reliance upon what God has already done, not a way to make God do what He has not done. Boy, that's a mouthful. And if you could understand that, it would totally revolutionize things. Again, the body of Christ is divided primarily into these two camps. Either you're emphasizing it's all up to God. It's the sovereignty of God. Whatever God wills, I have nothing to do with it. I remember a pastor coming up to me one time when I was preaching on healing, and he said, this little girl that we were praying for, he says, if it's God's will for her to be healed, she's going to be healed, and if it's not, she'll die regardless. We can't do anything about it. See, that's an extreme emphasis on grace or sovereignty, that it's just all up to God. But then on the other hand, you'll have people come up, and they don't even understand that God has already done it. And so they think that they've got to get God going, and they will beg and they will plead and they will fast and they will do all of these things trying to force God to release His healing. Both of those are wrong. It's like a road, you know, that has a dirt road that has ditches on each side. You can't get to where you want to go in either ditch. If you start into a ditch over here, and if you overcorrect, there's a ditch on the other side. The only way you can reach your destination is to go down the middle in between these two ditches. Well, there's a ditch over here talking about it's just all up to God. It's all grace. I have nothing to do with it. And there's a ditch over here. It's all up to me. I got to make God do this. And I'm going to stand and believe and confess. There's a ditch on both sides of this road. And you've got to balance it. It's by grace through faith that you are saved. God has to provide it. He has to make the provision. He sent Jesus and paid for our sins, and He made the provision. But then you have to respond and take your authority and say, I confess with my mouth. And there's things that you have to do. Boy, this is powerful. And I tell you, this has made a radical difference in my life. Because again, I've heard both sides of this my entire life. You'll hear one message where they just say, stand still and see the salvation of God. And then you'll hear the next message, stretch forth your hand and walk through the sea. And they're conflicting things. And you say, well, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to just trust and wait? Or am I supposed to take my authority? And well, it depends. You're supposed to recognize that God has already provided the need, and then you have to just trust in that. But I guarantee you, it takes effort to stand and believe that God has already provided it. When the doctor's told you, nope, you're dying. When the banker has told you, no, I'm foreclosing. When all of these things are happening, one of the hardest things you will ever do is just rest in what God has already provided by grace. It takes effort. And so you know what? You do need to be studying. You do need to be praying. You do need to fast. You need to get around people and stir yourself up lest you settle to the bottom. There's a lot that you have to do. But if you would recognize that I'm doing these things to affect me, not to affect God's attitude towards me. I study the Word to build myself up. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word, not so that God can look at how much time I've spent in the Word and reward me with an answer to prayer. See, God, by grace, has done everything. It has nothing to do with my performance. He's already provided everything. But does that mean that I can just take it easy and I can do nothing? No, because I have to learn how to believe. And this whole world is baptized in unbelief. And they're telling you that, no, it didn't work. No, you aren't healed. No, you aren't prospered. No, God hasn't blessed you. And the world is just completely different. And it takes effort. There's things that you have to do to rest and to believe and to release and receive the grace of God. But boy, this has made a huge difference in my life. To understand that grace is God's part. Faith is my part. Faith is not something I do to get God to move. Faith is my response to what I believe God has already done and already provided. Boy, that's powerful. You know, I know that there's some of you watching this program today that are just, it's like it's too much for you to take in. This is a complete about face from the way that most people look at things. And I'm aware of how different this is because at one time I was on that other side. But you know what? I believe that this is the truth, what I'm sharing with you. And I believe that the Holy Spirit wants you to know this more than you desire to know it. And if God has spoken to you today, if you feel like that there's a little glimmer of hope and all of a sudden some understanding is coming and it's like, I'm getting this. But if it seems like you got a long ways to go, I want you to know that God wants you to get there more than you want to get there. If you would just humble yourself and open your heart and ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand this, He will help you. It's a process of renewing your mind. But I believe that God has planted a seed in your heart today that if you will just water it and allow the Holy Spirit half a chance, this thing will grow and become a powerful force in your life that could literally change everything. This is a great truth. These are the truths that God has used to change my life, and I believe it'll work for you. Let me just remind you before we leave that I've got this brand new book entitled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword, and this has this teaching on living in the balance of grace and faith in here. It has 16 of my books summarized in 16 different chapters in this book. So if you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you information about how you can get all of these materials. And then please call or write today.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's newest book, titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword, is available for a gift of any amount. This book is unlike any other Andrew has ever written. Rather than one topic, it contains 16 of Andrew's most powerful teachings. Each is condensed into a single chapter, making this the most comprehensive collection of life-changing messages we've ever offered. Contact us today to get your copy. Or, if you prefer, you can order Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword on DVD as seen on TV. This series has over 7 hours of life-changing teaching. The entire DVD series is available for a gift of any amount. There's also a new Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword workbook available for a gift of $35 or more. The workbook works well in conjunction with the DVD series, offering the opportunity for deeper study of the biblical principles Andrew presents in his teaching. Or you can get all three of these products by ordering the Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword package. This package includes the brand new book, the As Seen on TV DVD series, and the workbook. The entire package has a catalog value of $79. But today, you can get the Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword package for a gift of just $69 or more. A single DVD containing the second week's broadcast of this series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second DVD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website, where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Little Rock, Arkansas this week for the 2011 Church Conference at Agape Church, Saturday, April 9th, and in the Washington, D.C. area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, April 14th through the 16th. He'll also be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, April 27th through the 29th, in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar, May 5th through the 7th, at the Solid Rock Church of Atlanta, Sunday, May 8th, and in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp, May 27th through the 30th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
The desert oasis of Tucson, Arizona. Here, Mike and Caroline Hesch joined a non-denominational church, submitting themselves to a strong-willed pastor. In time, they became victims of religious ideas as malignant as the tumor that threatened to consume both of their lives.
I didn't know what was going on. I just knew that things in my body weren't working right. And then this thing that it was growing, it grew off what I call it a tentacle, or like this arm I could see like growing out underneath my skin in there and spreading out. And it was nasty. It was just like a manifestation of the devil.
Catch the complete story today. Log on to awmi.net. Click on Ministry News and take a healing journey with Mike and Caroline Hesch